Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello. The earthquake in Haiti is clearly a humanitarian crisis, but is it also a human rights crisis? Today we'll hear from a journalist who has long covered Haiti. But first, to Anna Neistat. She's a senior researcher with the Emergencies Division at Human Rights Watch. She recently returned from Haiti.
We observed that people who were displaced and made homeless by the earthquake are currently facing issues related to violence against women, sexual violence, the complete lack of shelter in many places. People live in really squalid conditions in spontaneous settlements. They cannot even be called camps in the humanitarian sense of the word. Lack of access to food, serious problems with sanitation facilities, also very importantly, serious issues with security at campsites.
And with respect to security issues and sexual violence issues, how did that manifest itself there?
During our mission, we documented three cases of rapes in one of the camps, all gang rapes. But we believe that the actual numbers of rape cases and other forms of sexual violence are clearly underreported. All of the reporting mechanisms have been completely destroyed. There are no shelters, so it's really hard to say. But we do believe that the situation is very, very serious. Primarily because when you look at the conditions in which women live in the camps, you can immediately see how vulnerable they are to various forms of abuse. They stay in makeshift shelters made of just pieces of cloth and wooden sticks that they sometimes have to share with complete strangers. There are no appropriate sanitation facilities at most of the sites that we visited. So basically, women have to wander to a remote corner of the camp to bathe. Actually, one of the gang rapes that we documented happened as one of the women was just returning from this corner of the camp. There is no lighting, and there is absolutely no security presence.
And as a senior emergencies researcher, I imagine that you've seen this kind of situation in other parts of the world. And I'm wondering, how unusual is the situation with respect to security in Haiti?
Usually I deal with man-made disasters and not natural disasters. So usually the problems we're seeing have to do with the fact that the government, for example, prevents humanitarian agencies from providing services, assistance, and protection to the internally displaced or to the refugees. This situation presents enormous complexity, and the humanitarian community acknowledges that. A major urban center, the capital, was hit. The UN itself suffered significant losses, so it is extremely challenging. But at the same time, we do see that certain issues that do not seem to have to do with capacity are not being addressed or have not been addressed yet. It just does not seem that the security presence at campsites, national police, MINUSTAH forces, the UN mission forces, UN police, it does not seem like it has been made a priority. These security forces provide assistance for humanitarian convoys, for food distribution points, but they're simply not present to protect the internally displaced.
Trenton Daniel, staff writer at the Miami Herald, you just returned from a three-week reporting trip in Haiti, and I know that you wrote about the security situation outside of Port-au-Prince, many miles from there where the displaced have fled to. And I'm wondering, what did you observe about the security situation in the towns that you visited?
Well, in the provinces, I mean, if there's not much of a security situation in Port-au-Prince, then it's even smaller in the provinces. I met with the mayor in the town of L'Estaire over the weekend, and he was telling me that he had 14 police officers, if I recall correctly, and Port-au-Prince took 9 of them. And he had complained about bandits. They had set up roadblocks outside of the city. You know, there is very little police force outside of Port-au-Prince, and the Haitian National Police Force had, like so many other institutions, after the earthquake had lost some of its members, and they had to pull people from the provinces.
And how does this lack of security in areas in the provinces outside of Port-au-Prince, how does that manifest itself for ordinary Haitians who are just trying to get by every day without a lack of security presence? What does that do to their everyday lives?
People are left to their own devices to fend for themselves. In one camp in the suburb of Carrefour, I saw that people had set up their own sort of self-policing system, you know, where they had a little town center and they had marked the tent with numbers to account for who was living where. And this could be certainly worrisome. You know, who are the quote-unquote authorities? Can they be trusted?
Anna Neistat, what would you like to see be done? How can things be improved for people on the ground in Haiti?
I think there are several things that need to happen pretty urgently. While everybody realizes that Haitian National Police may not have sufficient capacity to cover all of the campsites and continue patrolling in the cities, we have to remember Haiti has one of the largest UN presences in the world. Thousands of troops from all over the world and several thousand UN policemen. The problem there seems to be the lack of understanding between the Haitian National Police and the UN police, for example. They're supposed to be doing joint patrolling. They don't seem to agree what joint patrolling means. And I feel that they have not received a clear message that that must be a priority. What they tell us, they hear from the rest of the humanitarian community, is that security for humanitarian convoys and warehouses and distribution points is necessary. What they do not hear so far is that they need to be present and at campsites.
I'm wondering, from both of you, having recently returned from Haiti and seen lots of things with your own eyes, is it safe to say that this earthquake is a humanitarian and human rights crisis at this point, or how would you characterize the level of human rights abuses that are going on right now in Haiti? And I'll start with you, Anna Neistat.
It's definitely a humanitarian crisis. I don't think there is any disagreement on that. In terms of whether or not it's a human rights crisis, it's really hard to say because we have to remember that Haiti has been one of the worst human rights crises in the region, even before the earthquake. People say that over the last couple of years, the situation has started to improve. And of course, the earthquake was a major blow to these kind of improvements. I think our greatest concern is that unless some of the issues are addressed right now, it may well turn into a human rights crisis as the matter of month. We have to remember that the rain season is approaching. The vast majority of sites of the spontaneous settlements are completely unsafe. People will be killed in mudslides and rains when the rain season begins unless they move to safe locations. There is a growing tension in the camps. I don't think unless some of the key issues such as assistance in terms of food and shelter and just all of the other needs are met, and unless the protection needs are addressed, we may face a much bigger crisis as a matter of weeks and months.
Trenton Daniel, staff writer with the Miami Herald, you have been visiting Haiti since 2000. Can you help me to understand what kind of handle does the central government have on affairs in Haiti?
Prior to the earthquake, you know, there had been a lot of progress made in terms of governance, you know, human rights issues. The Preval administration was unique in the sense that it didn't have a repressive force at its disposal, unlike other administrations in the past. There was also not this sort of menacing environment where police officers or government officials would be racing down the street with their sirens and their rifles pointing out of the windows of their vehicles. And when Preval was elected in 2006, you know, he went about by trying to make the government more transparent, you know, and less sort of menacing. But clearly, the government is still a very weak institution, and that was abundantly clear in the aftermath of the earthquake. A couple of colleagues of mine here at the Herald pointed out that the government probably has no idea how many people died in the earthquake. So whether or not that the government's able to bounce back from this remains to be seen.
Anna Neistat with Human Rights Watch, help me to understand, when we hear of a government like Trenton just described, with respect to human rights and the preservation and protection of human rights, how does a weak central government in the wake of a disaster like this impact the protection of human rights?
Things are largely exacerbated by the fact that the government is weak. I fully agree with Trenton that there have been some major improvements, and I think that's why people who care about the state of human rights, they feel so devastated because the earthquake seemed to destroy, in addition to destruction of homes and lives, has really destroyed what little has been done in terms of progress on human rights and rule of law issues. When the government is strong and tuned into human rights concerns, it can really make a huge difference. It can be in charge And once there is an agency in charge, be it a government or any partner that the government chooses to work with, many of the issues that we are concerned about would simply not be there. When it comes to providing security, of course, it must be the government's main function. It can ask for support from the international community, from whatever international presence is there. But again, it must have ownership of these issues, and then they will be addressed in a much more efficient manner. It's a massive disaster, and it's really hard to imagine any government, and I don't think anybody expects from the Haitian government to be able to handle it on their own. But in order to make international assistance effective, the government needs to be there. The weaker the government is, the harder it is to provide humanitarian relief.
For more on Human Rights Watch's work in Haiti, please visit hrw.org. And that's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about Human Rights Watch, including audio, video, and multimedia, please visit hrw.org. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or listen on our website. If you have questions or suggestions, please email Human Rights Watch. It's podcast@hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello.